Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about the future, how the future of real estate data is now, and it's in real time. I have been taking one of the roles that I've assigned my myself in life, and in this partnership that Jill and I have, is to be ahead of the game when it comes to technology and real estate. So I always kind of know what's coming up before it actually is released, so we can take advantage of it. And I obviously can share it with the Land Academy group and on the show and the whole thing. So I've been taking a lot of, during these COVID times, a lot of webinars, both paid and free, continuing education type webinars about real estate data. And so we're fortunate enough to have companies like CoreLogic, Black Knight, and a couple other companies out there like Adam Data. There's about five of them that consistently hold webinars that explain their products. And so I've been listening and watching these webinars, and they're always held by these young geniuses. These kids are just amazingly intelligent, and they explain their new products. So that's what this whole show's about. I can see how this is going to go and how it's going to go for us as land investors, which we'll obviously share as it comes up with the Land Academy community. That's what it's all about.
It's funny how much we both consume of webinars. I love them. Yeah. So, and it's funny, my webinars, we have, there's a lot that we do together, and then there's webinars that we each go off on our own separate way and get to be really proficient in, and that's what this is all about. It's good. There's a lot of good content out there.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Ian wrote, "I want to buy a primary residence in San Antonio. I usually buy homes retail through a realtor, but I figured I would give the direct mail route a shot. What's the best way to send out a mailer to neighborhoods I'm interested in? I have ParcelFact, but I know Jill has talked about how NeighborScoop has a polygon function that, I believe she said, would put the ownership data into an Excel file. Should I use that method? I love it."
So I'm going to pose this question to you because I just want to see what the answer is. I know what the answer is. But if you want to buy a primary residence, let's just use that example. I think Ian's a house flipper. I know he is. But if you want to buy a primary residence and you want to send a mailer out, mm-hmm. how would you do it? Aside from just asking me to do it.
You know what? It depends on if I really have my heart set on a geographic area.
Okay, keep going. This is what I want to, this is a great thought process.
Right. Go ahead. Or if I have my heart set on a school district kind of thing. So is it really the block and I like the subdivision? If it's that detailed, I want waterfront in this subdivision. It's got a beautiful, I want to be near the tennis courts. Who knows what it is that the community provides.
Maybe it's on the water. You only want waterfront property.
Right. I'm going to use the polygon thing because I don't want to send offers to any homes outside this geographic area. And then I could easily draw a polygon, like Ian says, download all the data. It gives me the beautiful thing about NeighborScoop. It gives me every last thing, that all the property details plus the phone number. I mean, that's just priceless.
The
owner's phone number. I love it. So that's what I do. If I want to do the other way, do you want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Say I'm like, hey, I just know San Antonio. What if it's just San Antonio in general? I want to live in San Antonio. I actually don't even know where. So I'm going to probably have some data things like I want to be in a neighborhood that has these type of community resources. Maybe I want to be in homes between $400,000 and $500,000, something like that. Then I'm going to come at it. I'm going to use you. We're going to come at it that way. Do red, green, yellow. We're going to pick the zips. I'm going to have, first, I have an idea, right? Of these six zips, let's just say that all of them provide what I'm looking for. It's the right demographics. It's the right, whatever. So then you are going to go through that, and then you're going to do red, yellow, green, those zip codes. Then those top two, three zip codes, they're going to get an offer. And this is something that we've talked about as ourselves as a family too, by the way, Ian, not nuts.
We've done this.
So then we're gonna send out the offers. I'm gonna see what comes back. And this is what I would recommend. This is what I have asked Stephen. So the offers come back, Ian, you're staring at 10, pick the three houses that meet your criteria money-wise, then let your wife pick from those three.
I think the wife's going to say, okay, go ahead.
No, this is what I've said to you.
I think the wife's going to say, this is the zip code I want to be in anyway.
No, but we're assuming you're on the same page going into it.
Yeah.
You're going to have, give her at least three, Ian, that she can walk through and pick from and say, this one's got the pool, this one faces the way I want, this one, I hate the front door, the porch setup, it's not big enough, whatever it is. Then let your wife, let her step in and let her emotionally pick from the three. That's would be my advice, and that's kind of how we go.
So I'll take it a step further, and I'll describe the data set. Jill's first way, the spatial way, I don't care how good you are at drawing on a screen with your mouse, you're going to lose some data. You're going to cut one lot in half and then all that. So as an investor, that polygon thing works great. I know, like, a great example of how to use the polygon thing is to go, Florida's just packed full of, like, waterfront communities where they have, you know, you drive your boat in, it's got docks, there's 25 properties that are on the water where you can have a boat on a dock, and then there's like three times as much that are one house's back or two houses back, and you don't want those. The polygon tool is amazing for that. It's amazing. For a neighborhood, it's the second way that Jill described, she's right. The data set is, the data sets, especially in these urban areas, are so robust, it's amazing. You can choose a census tract and just mail letters to that. You get all the data into a spreadsheet, you do your research, you say, I just want to be in this one census tract. You can choose a school system, the data set's in there. That's a pretty popular one. So you download the zip code, all the zip code data, and then you extract that specific, this is for a primary residence, so you shouldn't be saying, oh my gosh, I don't want to spend 15 cents. You know, I can spend 30 cents. And I'm saying that with a little bit of satire, because everybody doesn't want to spend any money on data. It's a crack up. Especially for your, by the way, if you buy a primary house this way, you're probably going to save, what, $100,000?
That's true. Exactly.
And that's on like a $500,000 house. And that silly neighborhood we're in, you can save $500,000. Easy.
Totally.
So dream it up is my point. It's really what this topic is about today. It starts with a dream. I call it the dreaming phase of everything. Dream up the best place that you want to live. And you're going to sit there and say, I can't afford it. Oh, yeah, you can, because you're going to send a mailer out to that school system or whatever's important to you, and you're going to knock off half the price. And someone's going to sign it and send it back.
Awesome.
Today's topic, the future of real estate data is now, in real time. This is the meat of the show. I think of everything with how we do these real estate deals, because I'm a weirdo, in terms of machining events. I have a very brief but meaningful background in manufacturing. So if you're gonna machine a part or whatever you're making, it needs to be broken down or deconstructed into machining events. So very complicated aircraft type parts, there's a lot of machining events involved. And to make it worse for the manufacturer, the machining events have to be, the actual event itself is very, 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 it has to be very precise. So if it's a millimeter off, this is not like the auto industry, but specifically with aeronautical parts, it has to be very specific. So you end up with a lot of parts that are a couple millimeters off and you scrap them. So there are whole companies out there that try to take making a part that has, let's say, 15 machining events and make it 10 events because there's a massive amount of savings in machinery and labor and all kinds of stuff. So the same thing happens with real estate. So here's how we do a real estate deal, and you can count the machining events and what happens. I manually go clicking around a website like Zillow or Realtor.com, and I take a look at what's for sale. That's the dream, okay? I want to find a place that there's not a lot of properties for sale. The sold properties to the ratio of the sold properties to the active properties, just eyeballing it, seem acceptable to me. And again, Jill and I are in the process of doing very detailed education series in the form of, it'll take the form of a webinar. So I don't know exactly what it's going to be called, because that's Jill's situation, or how much it's going to cost, because Jill vetoes everything I like. And so
I was just about to give you a nice compliment over here. I'm queuing up for a beautiful compliment.
Well, I wrecked that. So
okay.
So that's, you know, stage one. Okay, let's say I find a suburb of, we'll pick on Texas still. You know, Dallas, I don't know. Maybe it's less than a 5-hour drive from Dallas, 4-hour drive. And Oklahoma. It looks good. Yeah, Oklahoma.
That's now great. You're in Oklahoma.
All right. Great. So we're in Oklahoma. There's a couple of counties that look good, just eyeballing it, done, check. Now I go in and get the data from a lot of different sources like Redfin data. We haven't spent a dollar yet, by the way. And we're not, you don't have to be a Land Academy member to do this at all. Then I'll take a look at the zip code data through Redfin data and through a couple other sources, find out the universe of properties that are there, the universe of vacant land properties. I'll look at what's for sale. I'll look at what's sold. And I'll make, run ratios and percentages against it. And I'll take, let's say the zip code has 10, the county has 10 zip codes. I'll take all 10 zip codes. I'll pit them against each other in what we call a red, green, yellow test. Now a half hour to 45 minutes has gone by. I spend some time checking those counties and assigning a red, green, yellow. Invariably, there's three counties that I should send mail to because they're green. That passes on my tests. How many machining events is that? A lot. And there's a little bit of variance that takes a little bit of skill. Number two, so then I move on. I pull the data. I go to one of our data providers, whatever this data tree, the licensed providers that Jill and I have. I pull the data and I start to scrub. I scrub out things like the United States of America owns it. It's got a Canadian mailing address or any type of foreign address. We don't send mail to anywhere outside of the United States. It's too expensive. And on and on and on and on. If you're an experienced Land Academy member, you know what on and on and on and on means. In this environment, I can't explain.
We'll be here
all.
For all day.
Right. So at the end of that, I have a data set to send, and then I price it, of course, and I send it to O2O, and it gets in the mail. How many machining events is that? It's a lot, and there's a lot of margin room for error. So imagine this, and this is the future. And there's spreadsheets involved and 5 pieces of software and a bunch of things. The future is this. You set some, you have, this is the dream part. So forget what I just said, forget about real estate, and just dream with me for a second. You have parameters. You set your own parameters for where you want to send mail. And maybe one of your parameters is, I have no geographic parameters. I realize the data set for the entire country, there's 150 million pieces of property in the country. But I don't care about 150 million property pieces of property. I only care about, now we're gonna fill in the blank. I only care about properties that are not houses or commercial real estate. I only care about land. Bang, now we're down to 80 million. I only care about properties where in the zip code that it's in, as a percentage, there have only been 15 properties in that entire zip code that have sold in the last 12 months because I want to be there by myself. I don't want any competition. And they've only sold for less than $1,200 an acre. The ones that have been, that are for sale right now, and there's only a handful of those as a percentage, are listed for $3,500 an acre. So I know that if I get one for what's been the sold price, I can triple my money. Zoop. So this database, there's a live feed that's coming in for all 150 million million properties. It's in a database, and the database is waiting for you. It's waiting for you to set parameters, and it's feeding this API out in real time. It's feeding this data out, and then it stops feeding half the data. Then it stops feeding a quarter of the data. Oh, it's only feeding the data that you want, and parameter after parameter after parameter, you jam in there. It's going to spit something out that says, you know what, Steve? There's this county in Maine that fits your parameters. And so that all is happening in real time. And you might set it to wake you up in the middle of the night when this happens. This all happened and came about because of the mortgage industry and happened because of the COVID. And lenders are deathly afraid that Congress is going to say something tomorrow like, well, you no longer can foreclose on property. We decided it's in the best, I'm a lawyer, and I think it's in the best interest, even though I've never done a real estate deal in my life. I've been a politician for 40 years. I know what's good for you. you're not going to foreclose. You're a bank. You know stuff. You've done real estate deals. You're way more wealthy than me. But I'm a lawyer, and I'm in Washington, and I'm going to decide what's best for you. So they make rules like you can't foreclose on property anymore because everybody's going to get the COVID. So the banks all got together. It's a true story. Recently, and commissioned a data company to put together a dashboard like this so they can see where properties are being foreclosed on, which properties they have lent on are being foreclosed, and the thing updates every 15 minutes. So they put their parameters in, they can see what's going to happen in the future. That is the future of real estate. Our job, my job, and your job is to figure out what those parameters are that make sense for you. Maybe you buy and sell houses, maybe you buy and sell strip malls, and you want to see foreclosures rates. Maybe you don't care about foreclosure rates, you just care about price per square foot. And on and on and on. And you can, Jill and I are going to do a presentation this Thursday on this. I am. That's the future of real estate data. So it takes those machining events to bring this full circle and removes like 80 or 90% of the machining events. So you can see, it tells you where to send mail. Right now I'm going out there and searching for it.
Can I ask some questions?
And we're very successful at this, obviously. Mm-hmm. Very, very successful, crazy successful. It's going to get better.
I know the answer to this, but I'm asking it for everyone else with me listening to this brilliant conversation. And this, thank you for sharing
thank
all
you,
that.
Jill.
It's brilliant.
I love this stuff.
What is different about this versus the easy button? Or can you please explain to me how this is going to be created? Are we going to create this for other people, for us? Are you just sharing what's possible? Because I know other people, we know other people personally that have made an easy button, and it's not good. That's my point. I don't want this to be seen as an easy button, and you can just sit back and do nothing.
There are tools out there right now. Jill's exactly right. There are tools out there right now that are that work sometimes. They're very flawed. And it's like, let me put it this way. Let's say... This happened actually in the auto industry in 1918 and 1925. The Model T got released, and everybody overnight became an auto mechanic because it was always breaking down. Stuff was happening, and some crazy person in Arkansas in their barn figured out how to make a better carburetor for a Model T, and got it to Detroit, and eventually that became some version of that carburetor got incorporated into, and then the auto industry was built that way between Daimler, Rolls-Royce, and Ford. They came up with, and they're all pitting against each other, came up with little parts of a car that made the whole thing better. That's what's happening right now with data and real estate. We're in 1918 for that. And so there's people out there that are developing these tools, albeit not perfect. They need to be, they're part of a bigger system.
Right.
And so on a standalone basis, when you use one of those tools, something else is gonna either not work or, so we're still in that, not knocking these new tools. The structure of them is relevant, but the outcome is a false positive.
Right.
Is that too technical?
No, not at all.
She's talking about pricing. Jill's talking about pricing. There's ways to hit an easy button to price a mailer out there that are going to send you down
that people have
some
made.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10. It's incomplete, and you're gonna say this didn't work.
I wonder why.
Well, because you skipped 90 steps.
Right. So there's one in particular that we know that you just said that because we were gonna work together on, and we identified a bunch of flaws, and kind of we took a step back. I mean, truth time, we took a step back and said, we're missing a bunch of things here, and it's almost like. It's missing you an AI version of your head.
That's what this is. That well said. That's what the future of real estate data is. It's accessing all the data at once instead of me clicking around and kind of manually finding it. And from there will be something else too. So what's beautiful about this is this. And so the questions that I'm going to get after the show airs are going to be like, well, then what do we do? Like. Well then, if that's the case, then everyone's going to go to that one county in Maine. So here's the beauty of this situation,
and that will change the numbers.
And
here's
the flaw with Jill's with the company that does this auto pricing. For this to work, you have to be able to set the parameters that make sense to you as a business person and an artist. Maybe you set the you don't like Texas, you only like Oklahoma. Maybe you hate 5-acre properties but love 10-acre properties because you use them somehow. Maybe you only want a 4,000 square foot house if you're Jill, not a 2,000 square foot house, and it can't be in this state, I only want these three states. You should be able to there's tools like Microsoft Power BI that allow you to very simply integrate tools you're already using into a dashboard and then set alarms to have it go off. The stock market industry has been doing this forever. That's where this is all going. Real estate is going to go into a dashboard like on the stock market, and you set the parameters. That's what stops everybody from buying one single stock, because everybody's got different parameters. I like healthcare. Oh, I hate healthcare. I love manufacturing. Oh, I can't stand manufacturing. I only like IPOs, and on and on and on. That's what makes this work.
Well, and the thing about it too, like you said, real time. I love that, because you just use an example. Everybody's going to mail Maine. Well, you know what? That means Maine's going to be good today, and it won't tomorrow, because it's going to change the parameters. You're going to wake up. It's like I just think of my brother and his trading company, and it was hours spent before the markets open, tweaking things based on new information every single day. Mm-hmm. But you're talking, which is great. You're going to have these machines. We're calling them machines. That's your example, to do it for you with the parameters that you set.
Yeah. I've never talked to anyone in my life who's regretted buying waterfront property that's buildable or usable.
Good point.
So maybe that's a parameter, and that makes
sense
to you. I mean, there's endless. The data sets, it's hard to explain this in this audio video environment that we have on this podcast without showing you the data. If you've never been into the downloads for RealQuest or specifically a mortgage, Black Knight has some mortgage data sets that I don't think Jill's even seen yet, mm-hmm. that are staggering. You know, they can tell you if someone defaulted on their payment was due today, and it's the payment was due yesterday and they defaulted on it, and it's what their credit score is, if their credit cards are in the same situation, where they live, you know, the only thing that's missing is what the ages of their kids are and whether or not they're arguing with their wife that day. I mean, the data sets.
And their homework and their current grades.
Black Knight, Black Knight's bringing
in. We could probably get that too.
25. Black Knight has a mortgage product like this. We're bringing in 25 sources of API data sets for the back end of your dashboard.
Right.
And so you can build models based on, oh my gosh, you know, this one zip code, and I'm just using an example, in Southern Illinois, everyone's defaulting on their mortgage. You know, that's a great place to buy real estate if you're into that. Or it's a great place to buy, it will deflate. You can predict with very great accuracy that area in Illinois, the price of all houses because of this foreclosure thing, you're like 6 months ahead of, you can see that these property prices are gonna deflate. Jill and I made a fortune doing this stuff manually with a lot of machining events during the last downturn in Central Phoenix. And that's because we were out there in a car watching it. You know, this is a lot easier. That's the future.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on the Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on the Land Academy Show is called, because this was so brainy, Jill tomorrow is going to talk to us about land investing Buddha style. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. You didn't know this, did you?
I did not know this.
Well, you have a whole day to plan. Not really. You have
great. I have five minutes.
5 minutes to plan.
Awesome.
I need a glass of water after that.
That was good. That was brainy. I have to ask you real quick in the after show here. What? You dropped a bomb here, that something I don't know about you.
Oh,
what?
No.
Wait, no, wait.
What's... Wow, she's going to change her mind. You know, Steve's not for me.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. You know that. What's this machine background you were talking about? What's this job you had?
You know my high school friend. I never told you that story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nope. You know the high school friend that I'm talking about. So
last name starts with an A.
Yeah, so he and I worked at his father's company for 3 of the 4 summers in high school.
Okay.
And he was just, you know, I met this guy in middle school because we had the same computer class, and we were the two guys in the class, and this is middle school, that were going to the computer lab after class while everybody else was playing soccer and whatever.
What did they call you back then?
I don't know. You know what? I was a pretty big kid for my age, so nobody called me anything.
Okay, got it. I just kind of wondering, did they attach a little nickname to you guys?
You know, if they did, I didn't know about it.
Okay.
And didn't care.
All right.
And so we just were computer geeks.
That was where I was going.
We were, and, you know, since you asked, the computers that we had in middle school, I don't know when this is, probably in the 70s, middle 70s, were card readers. Mm-hmm. It was stamped out cards, and we would write these programs and do all this stuff. This is, you know, that's how Bill Gates learned.
Right. Was it the big
The big rectangle cards, and you would run them through a machine, and it would start to run a program.
Oh, okay.
And because his dad, we were just lucky as hell, his father built an amazing company in the 70s and 80s that, you know,
AKA they were loaded.
Very, very, very wealthy. So yeah. we had computers coming out of our ears. And you know how fast computer technology changes. So he would always have the newest and greatest stuff. Talk about truly having an advantage.
Yeah. So what's the machine background? Did you guys build some machines?
No. So he would buy. They owned a base of manufacturing companies, but they were always trying to improve them. And so it didn't happen. They didn't ever told us go in and change the number of machining events that happened. By teaching everybody Lotus, believe it or not, which is just an early version of Excel.
Right.
They started thinking, hey, these are people that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s in the 70s. They didn't even know what a computer was.
I remember it was Lotus 1-2-3.
Yeah.
That's what I remember.
And so there was a lot of pushback in the beginning, but it's the same now. Mm-hmm. You know, you hand your phone to your kid, and for whatever reason, they know a lot more about it than you do.
Okay.
That's what it was. We were just the kid. It was just computers.
You know, I would still argue that a lot of it came naturally to you, because I know people exactly your age that can't do a fraction, a small fraction of what you do. So I think it's more than that.
You know, and I watch these webinars on 180 degrees on that, and I watch what these kids are. I watched a webinar a couple days ago, or participated in one, where the code that they were running, this is all in real time and it's live, wasn't working. So we had like a dashboard of like 10 components, and this one was feeding foreclosure rates. This was in real-time forbearance rates, and this one, and then one module wasn't working. So he said, oh, hold on a second. And so bang, 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 he went in and troubleshot the code, fixed it, and then continued with the webinar. As fast as I just said that, that's what they did. So that kid is me in 1978 explaining machining events to, you know, how they can be approved to people who are 30 years older than me.
Yep.
You got to keep an open mind to that. You know, if your mind is closed about computers and learning new technology or apps or anything, you can hang it up now, because this is here to stay.
Love it. Thank you for joining us. We're happy that you are here. If you love this, please like us, give us some love, some way, Facebook, YouTube, whatever feels good for you. And by the way, we do read your comments. So if you take the time and write some comments on shows that you love or things you want to hear, know that they get to us. We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.